Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We're recording. And today's subject, inshallah, we'll be talking about the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because we're going to explain this sunnah, and then we pick a hadith from the book of Bukhari to learn. When you hear the word sunnah, what comes into your mind? The first thing comes into your mind. Hold on. We're recording. We're back into recording now. So the when you hear the word sunnah, it has been used in three different situations. It means three different things. One, sunnah, opposite to bid'ah. Sunnah opposite to bid'ah. So that's the first meaning. I say, okay, this is sunnah, good. This is bid'ah, bad. Bid'ah is an invention, invented thing. So it is used in the first context, is used to mean against the bid'ah, opposite to bid'ah. And the second thing about sunnah, use of sunnah, is to classify things into, is using classification. Which is halal. There are classifications for things. Halal. Sunnah. If I put it on a scale, I would probably say, yes, halal and haram and sunnah. This is, here's halal. This is haram. This is sunnah. This is what do you say, makruh? Not recommended. Not recommended. Did I spell recommended right? Huh? Recommended, not recommended. So when you say, okay, it is sunnah to pray two rak'ahs after fajr, it means what? Here, it means it is something recommended, but don't have to. It's good, but you don't have to do it. You got it? It's not an obligatory. It's not you. It's not have to. So halal is have to. Haram is have to. Can't do. I'm sorry. Must do or can do. Now there's something here I missed. I think this part is not right. Sorry. Yeah, sunnah is not used to in this context. Sunnah is used to describe the actions with sunnah of the Prophet. Is to describe actions, sayings, doings, approval, and this
approval.
So, sunnah of the Prophet to describe his action.
Is to describe
his actions, sayings, doing,
approvals and disapprovals.
What do you mean by this? Okay. So basically, sunnah of the Prophet is to learn from the Prophet. When you learn from his actions, okay? So a hadith will say, the Prophet ﷺ did this and did that. So you learn from his actions, okay? From his sayings, the Prophet ﷺ said that. Okay? That's his sayings. Doings, the Prophet ﷺ did that. Approval, the Prophet ﷺ approved that. Disapproval, the Prophet ﷺ disapproved that. So this is called Sunnah of the Prophet, is to describe all of these. And this is called, in other words, in this context, it's called Teachings of the Prophet. Teachings of the Prophet. Teachings of the Prophet. Okay? This is the meaning, the use of the word sunnah. There is also another meaning of the word sunnah, which is a sunnah. Again, it's fard. Sunnah against fard. So, what is the difference when I say this is sunnah and this is fard? What's the difference? Huh? Asma? Yes, sunnah is optional. Fard is mandatory. Right? So, in this case, this is optional. The meaning here is optional. And here's mandatory. So it's optional and mandatory. Okay? So there are three uses of the word sunnah. Let's use number one. Let's use number two. Let's use number three. So whenever you see sunnah, word sunnah is being used, okay? You don't assume it's one way or another until you're sure. You know? This is sunnah, this is bid'ah. Huh. This is sunnah, this is fard. This is sunnah, this is fard. Or sunnah, teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam allow people to write his sunnah when he's alive? Did the Prophet allow?
No.
Why not?
Uh-huh. He didn't want them to confuse his words from Allah.
Exactly. He didn't want them to confuse it with the Quran. Then who started writing the Sunnah? The first one started collecting the Sunnah, collecting it, was Imam Bukhari. Imam Bukhari. And he authored the book called Sahih al-Bukhari. Sahih al-Bukhari.
Okay.
He is the first one who started collecting the sunnah. Now, how, I mean, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, people say, I've heard the Prophet saying this, I heard the Prophet saying this, the Prophet said that, okay? So now he wants to figure out which one of these sayings is true or made up, or weak. Strong, weak, or made up, or fake. So he wanted to classify hadith, okay, which is in this case sunnah, or you can say teachings of the Prophet. Okay, so he wanted to collect those ahadith. Okay, so now he wants to classify them into strong or sahih means correct, da'if means weak, and makdhub, lie. So makdhub, lie, da'if, weak, sahih, valid. That's because it's the same. Correct, say valid. Now, Imam Bukhari heard a lot of ahadith. Then he would do what? He would pick up the first hadith. So let's say I'm walking. Let's say people come to me and say, did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, deeds are based on the intentions, and you get only what you intended. You get from Allah what you intended to get. If you intended to get the Jannah, Allah will give you the Jannah. But if you intended to get worldly gain, Allah may give you the worldly gain. Or mention or show off. Okay? Allah will not give you Jannah because you did not want Jannah. It's very simple. I did something and I did not want Jannah. Okay? So would Allah force me, says, okay, you did not want Jannah, so go to Jannah? You know, when you do something, you ask the person, are you doing it for Jannah? They say, no, we're not doing it for Jannah. I mean, if the person is honest enough. So Allah will not give them something that they didn't want to get. Okay. So, this saying, people go to Imam Bukhari and ask him about these things. So he decided to collect his ahadith into Sahih al-Bukhari, a book called Sahih al-Bukhari. Sahih al-Bukhari has 4,000 total hadith. Actually, it's 8,000 hadith. Total, we'll call them articles. 400 of them, 4,000 of them are not repeated. Or 4,000 of them after removing repetitions. You got it? So this is his book that he authored. Now, how would he collect the hadith? He will hear that the person is saying a hadith. So he hears the hadith. So here's the Prophet.
Here is the Prophet. And here is Imam Bukhari. Here is the Prophet and here is Imam Bukhari.
The hadith has to reach Imam Bukhari through a chain of narration.
So there is a chain of narration.
So this is called chain of narration. Did I spell narration right? Okay, good. So for the hadith to arrive from the Prophet to Bukhari, the Bukhari did not hear the hadith of the Prophet. So there has to be a chain in the middle. So what Imam Bukhari will do, when he hears a hadith, he goes to the person who says the hadith. Like I say, I hear the hadith from you. Then I say, stop. Where did you get this hadith from? Okay? You say, I heard Umar saying it. So I go to Umar and say, where did you get the hadith from? He say, I heard it from Abu Bakr. So he goes to Abu Bakr and says, where did you get this hadith from? You see what I'm saying? So he goes with the chain of narration to authenticate. So he, by interviewing each person on the chain of narration, like A, B, C, he interviewed every person on the chain of narration, which is called witness, a witness, right? This is, by the way, I've never done before. You're talking about the Dark Ages. Never done before in literature or after. No teachings or sayings or doings of a person has been documented that much other than the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Did you hear it in the school about someone documenting and authenticating the life and the sayings and the doings of someone other than the Prophet? Imam Bukhari was genius. He had a photographic memory. He looks at the hadith, boom! He takes the image, picks up the image, and it doesn't go. And it doesn't go away from his memory anymore because Allah made him genius so that he can collect the hadith and classify them. So there's a criterion in Imam al-Bukhari to accept or reject the witness. So let's say he heard that person C narrated the hadith. He heard that person C narrated the hadith. Okay, so he goes to person C. And then he lives with him. And he, as a guest, and he studies his personality, checks his memory, okay, observes him very closely to see how valid is he as a witness. Okay, he wants to, okay, this guy's a good witness or a bad witness? Or, not a good witness. So he goes and interviews him. If the person does not meet the criteria of Imam Bukhari, then Imam Bukhari rejects his testimony. So once the testimony is rejected, then this chain is cut off. He removes the entire chain of narration. Because one is rejected. One on the chain of narration is rejected. There's a famous story about that Imam Bukhari heard that hadith, okay, was narrated by X person. Okay? So he went to interview X person. So he traveled all the way to the place where X person lives. Remember, they traveled to collect the hadith. Travel. And travel at that time wasn't fun at all. So he traveled, okay, to interview this guy. And then in the Arabian traditions, if you get a guest, you don't ask him, what are you doing here? Except after 3 days. It's a shame to ask the guest, what are you doing here? Before the 3 days are over. Okay? So he went to the guy as a guest. And he stayed with the guy. And he started looking, observing the guy. Okay? In the first 3 days. So once he saw the guy, he had a camel. The guy had a camel. Okay? The ex-guy had a camel that the Imam Bukhari is trying to see how good is he. So this ex-guy has a camel. So the camel ran away. So this ex-guy brought some food and he put it in his dress. you know, they wear jalabiya. So he made it like this, and he put the food, and he said like this to the camel. So the camel knows that the camel will come and eat, right? But the guy didn't put the food. So he did his dress like that, did not put the food on it. And then he did like this to the camel. He was trying to fool the camel. So the camel came, then he caught the camel. You see the trick? Played by the guy. So he basically fooled the camel. That's it, to catch it. Okay, now Imam Bukhari started gathering his stuff, packing up and leaving. So he told him, when he's leaving, he told him, you never told me. Why did you come here? Why? What are you doing here? He said, I am Bukhari, and I am. I heard that you have heard this hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I came to authenticate that. So I watched you for 3 days as a witness to see your credibility as a witness. So you cheated the camel, then your credibility as the witness is gone. This is how tough is he. See, he has a very tough criteria. Like cheating a camel, that's to him, is that's it. The guy is disqualified. Okay, of course, later on, there are other people who came to narrate hadith, and they made their criteria a little bit easier. A little bit easier, so that they can study more and more hadith. Because using this tough criteria, he only gathered 8,000 hadith, authenticated hadith. 4,000 of them are unique. You know what I mean? Like, for example, the Prophet said, go and do this. That's one narration. Another narration, the Prophet said, just do this. So people will have different verbs, different words. You see, when people describe, they describe in a different word. So the repeated hadith are on the same subject, but different words. You got it? You understand? So 4,000 hadith, they become 4,000 hadith after you remove the repetition, which is the same hadith but in different wordings. 8,000 total. So because of his tough criteria, he ended up having only those. But the Prophet had so many other hadith that were captured later by other scholars that came after Imam Bukhari radiallahu anhu. Guess what he else would do? Every time he gets an hadith, he prays what? Istikhara. You know what istikhara prayer is? What's istikhara prayer? Your neighbor. What's istikhara prayer? Istikhara prayer is if you're confused about something and you want Allah to guide you, right? So you pray it if you before marriage, you say, Ya Allah, help me if this is a good marriage or not. You pray it before traveling and say, Ya Allah, if it's a good trip or not. If it's a good trip, make it easy and make it happen. If it's a bad trip, make it hard and don't make it like that, right? So he would pray 2 istikhara rak'ah for every hadith before putting it, accepting it in his book. So you imagine how many istikharas he wrote, he prayed. And how many miles did he travel? And this, his book, is known to be the second most correct book after Quran. So remember that. His book is called what? Second most correct book after Quran. Okay. What are other criteria? For example, if a hadith had grammar mistake, grammatical mistake, if a hadith has a grammar mistake, then this hadith is what? Rejected. Becomes lie. Rejected. Got it? And there's a difference between weak hadith and lie, or fabricated. Weak means, it is possible, but we don't have enough witnesses. It's possible that the Prophet said it, but we don't have enough witnesses. We don't have a good chain of narration. But makdhub, lie, that's a fabricated hadith. That's no. Okay? And there are so many hadith that are fabricated and people keep repeating it because they heard it somewhere and they keep repeating them. Your assignment, if you hear a hadith that is fabricated, do not talk about it at all. Do not tell it to anybody. Let it die. Let it die by itself. Because when you don't talk about it, nobody else talks about it, the hadith dies. You know, the words die, disappear in time. Okay? So that's what he did. He had a list of lie hadith, but he did not document them. He said, because I don't want anybody to know them or to talk about them. I want them to be just forgotten. And he documented only, collected the sahih and the da'if. He left the da'if out of his book. So he has only 4,000 hadith sahih, or 8,000 total hadith sahih. Another thing that would make him, we said, if the witness or the narrator is what? Is a cheater, does any kind of cheating, then he is rejected as a witness. Second reason for Imam Bukhari to reject the narration is if it has grammatical mistake. Like in English, for example, they say, they is today. They is. Okay? So you're sure that the Prophet who speaks Arabic very well naturally will not they is, right? So that's an obvious fault there. Another reason to reject the hadith is if two of the narrated people didn't see each other. Like it says, narrated by A, B, C, then to Imam Bukhari. Then Imam Bukhari goes and he finds that B and A never met each other. Why? B died in Iraq at the year such and such, and this guy died in Morocco here such and such. They never met each other. So he turns away the chain of narration. Okay. If one of them has bad memory, if one of them is known to have bad memory, then this is disqualified. Okay. It's a righteous person, it's a good person and everything, and the hadith is maybe correct, but the guy has a bad memory. He will not take it from a person that has a bad memory. So he was really tough. He had a tremendously tough criteria. At the end, he came up with this beautiful book of hadith that's highly authenticated. It's just enough to say to anybody, this is from Sahih al-Bukhari. This hadith of Sahih al-Bukhari, it's enough evidence to say this hadith or this teaching of the Prophet came from Sahih al-Bukhari. That's the end of it. Nobody can argue with you after that if it's in the Sahih al-Bukhari. There's also another kind of thing we can look at in the classification of hadith. If 40 people narrate a hadith,
oh, good. Thank you.
If a hadith was narrated by 40 people, one hadith was narrated by 40 people, narrated the same hadith. Okay. They, 40 or more, must be true because 40 people who don't know each other narrate the same exact hadith. You got this part right? So if four people don't know each other, okay, and I go to the first one, and I say, do you know this person? Say yes. What's her name? Sarah. Okay? Okay. Now she doesn't know you. Let's say you don't know each other. Do you know this person? Yes. What's her name? Sarah. Now she doesn't know this. What's your name? I'm sorry. Do you know this girl?
No.
Yeah, let's say yes.
Yes.
Her name is what?
Sarah.
Now, will you be sure that this is, they all said the truth? Why? Because they don't know each other. You can't make the same lie, right? If it's a lie, then 40 people who don't know each other, who is impossible for them to make the same lie. That's why they say if you're a liar, make sure you have good memory to remember your lies. Because when you do a lie, okay, people will say different things about it. But hadith, 40 people narrate the same hadith, this is called the hadith mutawatir. But that's one of the most strong kind of a hadith. Okay. Now, let's now go to the book of Bukhari itself and say what is inside the book of Bukhari. Of course, I don't want to tell you that if one of those guys is known to be a liar, the hadith is rejected, right? What else would you think that will make the Imam Bukhari reject the hadith? What else do you think? Think about something, huh?
Like if they know each other like well, then they could know the same information.
No, that's not the case, because they could be know each other, okay, and they pass the information. So let me answer your question precisely. When we talk about different people narrating the same hadith, okay, different people who don't know each other, who narrated the same hadith, that's enough to show to tell this hadith is perfectly correct, perfectly right and perfectly correct. But when you come here, this person has said, I heard it from that person. Okay, he's not saying like many people don't know each other. No, this person must know each other. Otherwise, the chain is bad. They have must known each other. They have must met. Okay? That's actually, if he finds out that these two witnesses did not talk to each other, did not live with, did not know each other, lived at different periods of times, never met one another, then the chain is what? Is rejected. Okay? If they don't know each other. So they have to know each other. Okay? for the chain to be accepted. But here, there are 40 different people. Okay? They did not hear it from each other. Each one heard it from one chain. So in other words, this one is one chain. This one is 40 chains. 40 people, 40 chains. But this is only one chain. Okay? So now, of course, he saw different chains, and we will try to get it from different routes to see if the hadith will work, will end up being correct hadith or not. Can you think about something else that will disqualify the hadith from being correct? Think about something. What if this one is a liar? Then the chain is gone. What of this guy known to have bad memory? Then the chain is broken. What if there is a gap between, like sometimes there is a gap like this, like A, B, and somebody we don't know, and C. Okay? Then it's rejected. Right? You got it? Many Arabs, after Islam, Prophet died, they denounced Islam. So any one of those denounced Islam and he narrates a hadith is turned away. Imam Bukhari does not accept the testimony of the people who denounced Islam after the death of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay, so now, what is the first hadith in the book of Muhammad, of the book of Al-Bukhari? What's the first hadith in the book of Bukhari? Anybody knows? The first hadith of Sahih Al-Bukhari is called is two-thirds of Islam. Is one-third of Islam. That the other two-thirds are nothing without. Two-thirds of Islam. Two-thirds of Islam. The other one-third is... It's one-third of Islam. The other two-thirds are not good without. Okay, what is that hadith that represents one-third of Islam and the other two-thirds is not good without this hadith? Understanding this hadith, implementing this hadith is one-third of Islam. And the two-thirds of Islam is not any good, does not benefit without this hadith. Huh? It is the hadith of... First hadith. It's the intentions. Intentions, if I spelled it right, intentions is one-third of Islam. The other two-thirds is nothing without intentions. Why? Because if you don't have the right intention, your deed is what? Is gone. So that was the first hadith. And then the last hadith was... saying the dhikr, Subhanallah wa bihamdi, Subhanallah al-Azim. Subhanallah al-Azim. Is to say this, Subhanallah wa bihamdi, Subhanallah al-Azim. The Prophet said the two words that are very easy to say, but they are very heavily rewarded by Allah. They are Subhanallah wa bihamdih, huh? Subhanallah al-Azim. Can you repeat it after me? Subhanallah wa bihamdi. Subhanallah al-azim. If you have any idle time and you say it, okay, and slowly, slowly, Subhanallah wa bihamdi, Subhanallah al-azim. This gives you a lot of hasanat. A lot of hasanat. So he said these words are very easy to say, but are very heavy in the scales of good deeds in the Day of Judgment. They come like, they weigh so much. They come in the Day of Judgment weighing so much in your balance of good deeds. That's the last hadith. Because this is the first hadith, this is the last hadith. Okay? The first hadith, which is the hadith of the intentions, is the one that we will start talking about, inshallah, this next week. We'll be taking from this point forward a hadith from the book of Bukhari. Okay? And we're going to explain them. Tomorrow we'll start with the intention. Now there is another imam called the Imam Nawawi. Imam Nawawi. Imam Nawawi, what he did is that he picked 40 hadith. So Imam Nawawi picked what? 40 hadith. And he focused on them. He said, I'm going to explain those 40 hadith. So he picked out 40. So that was his contribution. And this man was so sincere to the level that his book, did you hear about the book Sahih, what is it called? Riyad al-Salihin. A book, Riyad al-Salihin, is very famous. It's very well spread. And if you look at it, it's just that nothing but the Imam Bukhari, but Imam Nawawi collected some of the hadith together in a book. But somehow, because he was so sincere, his work spread so much that it became almost an old library. The 40 Nawawi hadith becomes almost in every library, okay, that Islamic library. So inshallah, next week, we'll start talking about the first hadith. Assalamu alaikum.